Morning. This week, many of you will dress your children up in something that they'll be embarrassed about later in life, like we did our children. Put them in some kind of costume and may go out in your local neighborhood and let them get all the kind of candy that you normally won't let them eat during the year. And we call that Halloween. Our children wear costumes, and sometimes those costumes may represent a dream. They may represent what a child wants to be. You know, some may wear their fireman outfit, because every child at some point, every boy wants to be a fireman at some point, right? That's just cool. I still drive by fire departments. I drove by the Fairview Fire Department not too long ago, and they had all the fire trucks out. It was open day. I didn't have time, but I sure would have liked to stop and looked at the fire trucks. That just seems to never grow old. Little boys want to be firemen. Little girls want to be princesses, right? With their little, we were at a HOA meeting last night, and a little girl running around in her tiara. I don't know if that's part of her outfit for this week or not, but she had her little tiara on. She was a princess. And so little girls want to be princesses, and some boys want to be soldiers. You know, some, these things just never change. And a lot of times, you know, I didn't grow up to be a fireman, and most girls don't grow up to be princesses or, you know, you don't always become what you dress up like sometimes. We wear costumes. You know, adults as well, sometimes we wear costumes or we wear disguises. And they are what we would like other people to think we are. Because sometimes we're very different than what we show. Sometimes we are wearing costumes that might say that I'm a Christian. And yet, in our hearts, we're like the Pharisees. And in that while we're whitewashed and pretty on the outside, on the inside, we're not full of the things of Christ, but full of uncleanness. You know, we are determined, oftentimes we're determined by, these disguises are determined by where we are. Sometimes they're determined by who we're with. We might be one person around our friends at school, and somebody else here this morning. You might be somebody at work and someone else at home. You might be something at home that you're not here. We oftentimes will switch out our outfits to match our surroundings in our lives. You know, sometimes teenagers are one thing at school or one thing at home, another thing on a Friday night. But yet such disguises do not need to be a part of our lives. We need to be a single person. Somebody once said, Nathan, you seem to be the same kind of person. I said, I don't know how to be anybody else. Folks, we shouldn't know how to be anybody else but who we are. This morning I asked the question, if you saw the title in the bulletin, the question is your life a trick or treat? Because based on how you live and what you do will determine whether it is one or the other. Is your life spent determining what disguise you need to wear today based upon where you will be and who you will be around in order to trick them into believing you are something you are not? Folks, that'll wear you out. Always having to change, always having to be somebody different for this person or that person, or this group or that group, or this place or that place. Or is your life a treat for all those that know and something that they can enjoy being around and something that can benefit them spiritually? You have to be natural. You have to be yourself. You have to be honest for your life to be this, to be this treat. Because, folks, every single one of us know people that are fake. Every single one of us know people that wear disguises because we've seen them one place and we've seen them another place and seen two different people, right? And we know that they are putting on a disguise. And folks, let me tell you what, if you're doing it, someone out there, in fact, more than one someone, a lot of someones out there know you're exactly that same kind of person. Or as well as we may try to wear disguises, Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And at some point, we're going to slip up and let be seen who or what we really are. Let's look at some Bible examples of this, of people wearing disguises. You know, we can first look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And I would say that Ananias and Sapphira, they wore the benevolent disguise, didn't they? I'm wearing my benevolent disguise. I'm a very giving person. I'm a very good person. And that benevolent disguise was there to cover up or to disguise the greed that was really in their hearts. Because see, back in chapter 4, they watched Barnabas. They watched Barnabas give what he had sold things and given it to the, laid it at the apostles' feet, and he was praised for it. And very possibly Ananias and Sapphira thought, man, that he got praised. I'd like to get some of that praise, right? And so they put on a Barnabas mask. They dressed up like Barnabas. And they sold something and they brought money. But see, the difference, Barnabas brought it all and was honest about what he brought. But they didn't. Because they didn't really want to give to God. They wanted the praise of men. The same thing Jesus condemned the Pharisees for, and we'll talk about them in just a moment. But they wanted the praise of the church for their giving. But yet they didn't give it all. They just said they did. They put on that disguise of benevolence. And yet Peter and the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, saw what was behind the mask. They saw that Ananias and Sapphira were not a treat like Barnabas, but instead they were a trick. And their whole effort that day was to trick Peter, to trick the apostles into believing they were something that they were not. And God punished them because of it. We can also go and we can look at the Pharisees, as mentioned just a moment ago, Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, 25 through 28, in that they love to wear the righteous disguise. That's what we can call it, the righteous disguise. And a lot of people in the church today like to wear the righteous disguise. They come to church and they act all meek and humble and they bow their heads and they sing the praises and they go out in the world and they live however they want, with no consideration of what God's Word says for their life. It's the righteous disguise. And the Pharisees loved to wear that disguise. They loved to walk and be praised by men. They loved to have the seats of honor. They loved for people to see their phylacteries hanging long and they'd be going, oh, wow, look at how righteous and good they are. They loved to pray those prayers out in the middle of everybody. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else, right? Look at all I do, Lord. But they're not even praying to God. They're praying so that everybody around them could hear their righteousness instead of them actually living righteous, right? So they wore the righteous disguise. And it covered their pride and it covered their hypocrisy. They weren't godly, but they wanted the praise and the respect of godly people. There are people that I have seen in my life that I greatly respect because of their godliness. And there are people that have tried to pull the proverbial wool over my eyes and make me think they are. And yet in the end, their fruits are clear. And while some people may be able to fool me, God has never been fooled by the righteous disguise. Jesus Christ was never fooled by the righteous disguise, was he? All the Pharisees wore their righteous disguise every time they came up to question Jesus. But Jesus was never fooled. In fact, Matthew chapter 23 is that those famous woes upon the Pharisees. And they were all about hypocrisy. Woe unto you Pharisees, hypocrites. And ultimately wearing a disguise is an act of hypocrisy. And folks, you look in Jesus Christ's teaching throughout His ministry, and hypocrisy is one thing Jesus condemns over and over and over and over and over. Especially in regards to the religious people of His day. But Jesus easily saw beyond their disguise, and He knew that it was a trick. Even though many times, many people didn't. We can also look at Judas. And I would say that as we look at Judas in Matthew chapter 26 and 25 and his betrayal of the Lord, John chapter 13 verses 21 through 27, that night before Jesus would die upon the cross, he had already set an order to betray Jesus before he walked into that upper room on that last night. That had already been arranged. It had already been taken care of. Judas walks in there. And when Jesus talks about the one who dips in this bowl with me is the one that betrays me, Judas puts on the innocent disguise, doesn't he? Is it me, Lord? Well, you know it's you. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts in Judas's mind about who it is. He's already done it. He's already arranged it. He's already set it up, right? But he actually has the nerve and the gall and the audacity to look at Jesus Christ and say, is it me? In John chapter 13, and understand, if you look across the relationship with Judas and Jesus, Jesus is always telling Judas what he's going to do and always trying to keep him from doing it. Jesus didn't want Judas to betray him. Gave him every chance, warned him, begged him. But there came a point in that night in John chapter 13 For Jesus just simply, because it says the evil one entered into his heart. And Jesus looked at him and said, what you do, do quickly. Jesus realized Judas was not going to change. And Judas left the room to go get the soldiers that would eventually take Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He gave him every chance. And the innocent disguise was not good enough. Jesus knew what he was. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he had done. And he saw right through it, right up to the end. Think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Let me tell you what, Stephen was a man who did not have a need for a disguise, did he? There was no need for him to put on anything else because he'd already put on the one thing he needed, Jesus Christ. And because he'd already put on Jesus Christ, there was no other room for any other disguises. That is who he was, a Christian. A person endeavoring to live their life as Jesus Christ would have them to live it. He was not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, he would walk right in there to the very men that killed Jesus Christ, the Sanhedrin. He walked right in there and told them the truth without shame and without fear. He told them exactly what was true about them and their disguises and their hypocrisy and the fact that they had rejected the very Son of God. And that while they would not admit it, they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised, which ended up getting him killed on that particular day. You know, disguises, talk about him not being ashamed. Let me tell you why you wear a disguise. Disguises are because of shame. Right? You're around people that you know are not very friendly to Christians, maybe at work, maybe some of your friends at school. And because you're ashamed that you are a Christian and the ridicule that you might receive as a result of that, you put on a disguise. You might not necessarily do anything wrong, but do you really do anything right? Are you hot, cold, or are you just lukewarm? You're just going to hang out there, not going to say anything about Christianity, you're not going to say anything against it, maybe not even going to do anything wrong, but you're just not really going to show Christ. You're not going to be a light for anybody. Why? Because you're ashamed. Because you're ashamed of who you are. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 69, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you what, those people that you're so worried about, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, friends, they cannot do one thing for you. They cannot make your life any better. All they're doing at this point, if you're putting on a disguise when you're around them, is they're dragging your life away from Jesus Christ. And there comes a point where we have to decide if we need to pluck out the eye or cut off the hand, right? As Jesus said, to those things that would cause us to stop being the spiritual people that God calls for us to be. Because see, Stephen showed himself to those men simply for what he was, that he was a child of God. Let me tell you what, they weren't friendly toward children of or the Christians because they weren't friendly toward Jesus, and yet he walked right into the very men that put Jesus to death, and he told them the truth, knowing the kind of men that they were. And he paid the price. Let me tell you what, the disguised person, they will never pay the price. They'll just put on a different disguise, won't they? They'll keep changing disguises to keep from paying the price of being a child of God. They're not willing to be what the Lord was. They're not willing to be like Him in that He was willing to let the world hate Him if that's what the world chose to do. But He was who He was. And we should be who we are regardless of what people think about us, regardless of what people say about us, whether they love us, whether they hate us, whether they despise us. We are who we are without disguise like Stephen. And we may very well pay the price for that in some particular way. We may even pay the ultimate price like Stephen, as some Christians in our world do today. But I will have God. And I will have the reward that comes with that. That is promised throughout the pages of the New Testament. Stephen was a beautiful tree. And I love that, and we talked about it in Hebrews class this morning about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, but you know when they were stoning Him? Jesus was standing at the right hand, honoring Stephen, for his sacrifice because he was a Christian. Without apology, without disguise, he was like his Lord. We can look at Peter. And you know, I could take Peter several different ways, couldn't I? I could show you where he wasn't afraid, but then I could show you where he's wearing disguises too at times, right? He certainly wore a disguise the night he denied our Lord, didn't he? Hey, weren't you with Jesus? Put my mask on. No, wasn't with him. Right? He's wearing a mask, right? He's trying to trick him. I'm going to trick him. No, I wasn't with him. Wait a minute, weren't you with Jesus? No. I swear I wasn't with him. All in an effort to disguise himself from who he really should have been. Later in his life, we move into the church, into the New Testament church. Galatians chapter 2 tells us about a time with Peter where he was at the church at Antioch. And the church at Antioch was that first major Gentile congregation. And Peter was up there and he was eating with Gentile brethren. Peter had already caught a lot of flack for bringing the gospel to the first Gentile, right? To Cornelius. So he had some bruises and some wounds from that. And so he's up there and he's eating with Gentiles, and here comes the Jewish brethren, most likely from Jerusalem. Here comes the Jewish brethren, and Peter decides, hey, I don't want to catch this again. So he runs out of the room, leaves the Gentile brethren. And it's so bad, it's so contagious, that he even gets good old Barnabas to run out too. So he put on a disguise for his Jewish brethren that he really wasn't one of those Gentile lovers, right? One of those Gentile friends of the Gentiles. You don't want to be that. You're a good Jew, Peter. Paul would hear nothing of it. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul confronts Peter and makes it clear, you can't do that. You can't be duplicitous like that as a child of God. You can't pretend that you like one group of people until another group of people are around, and then you're going to change and be something else. That doesn't work. Why? Because Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. There's only one person controlling me. That's who I am. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, not based on what people think or anything else. I wear but one thing, and that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is all. That's what Peter did. And in that particular sense, he was a trick. There was other times when he was a real treat. Like I said, he's kind of a difficult fellow to nail down. He's sort of like Jell-O sometimes. And when you're trying to nail it to a tree, he's kind of hard because he's got a little bit of everything. And you know what? That reminds me of me. There's times when I think I do well. And there's times when I think I fall flat on my face because I just don't. And I think most of us can relate to Peter a lot. Because we all have those times when we don't have the faith we should have. We don't have the determination we should have, the conviction we should have. We don't do the things that we should. And we're very much like Peter on this day. And then there's other times when we do make the things that we need to do. And God bless you on those days when you do that. Keep those up. Have more of those. Right? And you make the difference that Peter made in this world too, when he made those stands for faith. You know, we can go to Paul and look throughout most of the book of Acts and most of the New Testament writings, and we see him. But, you know, when he was thrown in jail in Philippi, he wasn't in there going, hey Silas, listen, bud. We need to tone down this Christian thing just till we get out of here so we can preach more gospel, right? So that would have sounded real good, right? We're really about preaching the gospel. So let's not antagonize these people any more than we have to. We can get out of here and we can go preach some more. Now, that sounds really good. That's good reasoning, right? We're all about preaching the gospel. No, that's not what Paul was saying to Silas in that jail cell. He's saying, let's sing praises to God. Let's let them know who we are. And if they want to throw away the key, so be it. We got one that has the master key, right? And he shook the doors open. Didn't need the jailer to get him out, no more than Peter needed the jailer to get him out earlier in the book of Acts. No, they were not about hiding the gospel. They were about making it clear. Paul stood before Roman leaders. He stood before Felix. He stood before Festus. He stood before Agrippa. And proclaimed the gospel without any reservation. In fact, when he was, they said, "Oh, you're mad." He said, "I'm not mad. I think my mic just went out, didn't it, gentlemen? Okay. I better stay right here then." They said he was mad, didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "I know what I'm talking about." And he looked right at King Agrippa and said, "You know what I'm talking about too. And you know it's true. Because the things that we've done haven't been done in the corner, but they've been done in the light of day." And that's when Agrippa said, "You know what? If you keep preaching at me, I'm probably going to become a Christian." And he got out of there. He didn't want to hear any more of that. Paul was not ashamed. He wrote those words in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 by inspiration. And his life was an incredible treat. I guess most of all, we need to look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never backed down. He never hid. He went right to the point and faced whatever had to be faced for the truth. There were times that the things that he said, had he not had the ability to miraculously deliver himself, they tried to kill him. I have said things where I thought somebody was going to hit me. Really have. I remember sitting in my office and saying something to somebody who was not doing what they should and was abandoning their marriage, and I made a statement to them about their need to return. They stood up, turned red, got their fist all balled up, walked up to my desk. I put both my feet down. I thought maybe I can roll my chair back fast enough for him to miss. And he just stood there and shook at me like for about 5 or 10 seconds and then just turned around and walked out. So I've come close to thinking I was going to get hit. But I've never had people want to kill me. No one's pulled a gun on me or picked up rocks to stone me. And that may still come one day when that happens, when somebody will. But, you know, I've never had that. But Jesus had that quite often. In fact, he went to his hometown, the people that he knew, the people that knew him. In fact, the reason why that they didn't want to receive him because they didn't know him. Prophet in his own country is without honor, Jesus says, while he's there. But while he is there and he reads that scripture from Isaiah and then sits down and says there in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he says, "What you have heard has been fulfilled in your presence." And they got a little bit upset. And the very people that he grew up knowing all of his life drug him out of town and would have thrown him over a cliff had he not miraculously delivered himself. And Jesus didn't miraculously deliver himself because he wasn't willing to die. It just wasn't the time for him to die. He said, this ain't the time. There was a time when Jesus Christ, remember he said, "No one takes my life, I give it." Those guys couldn't take it until Jesus decided to give his life. No one could take it. That's the power of his sacrifice, is that it was all on him. It was all his decision, all by his allowance. But Jesus was always who he was, and it drove them crazy. It made the Pharisees so angry. It made the Sadducees so angry. Because every time they went after him, he was always the same. And they were always having to switch and change. Remember how they made their decisions? They didn't make their decisions by truth, did they? They made their decisions based on how it affected them. They asked Jesus, "By what power do you do these things?" They've been saying that he did these things, the miracles that he was doing, by the power of Satan, right? By the power of Beelzebub. And they said, "By what authority do you do the things that you do?" And Jesus said, "I will answer that question if you answer mine." Now, Jesus is saving that answer for Caiaphas when he's going to say, "Yes, I am the Son of God," and they're going to hang him on a cross. So he's saving the answer. He's not avoiding it. He's saving it for the proper time. He said, "Let me ask you a question. You answer mine, I'll answer yours. Was the baptism of John from men or from God?" Now, they did not base their decision and answer to that question on the truth. In fact, they understood the truth. They said, if we say it's of God, he's going to ask us, "Why did you not do it? Why did you not obey it?" And if we say that it's of man, the people are going to be mad because they think John's a prophet. So what are we going to do? We just won't answer. We're going to put on the ignorant disguise because we don't want to really face the truth. Because, see, these are the same people that sent men to John the Baptist to ask him this: "Are you the Messiah? Why would you even think it if it wasn't clear that he was from God?" Oh, they knew. They just didn't want it. So they wore the disguise of ignorance in that particular case. But as we even see Jesus Christ on the cross, no change.
all that night when they beat him and they tried him and they took him eventually to the cross, Jesus was the same from the time that he prayed in the garden to the time that he said it is finished and breathed his last. Jesus is Jesus in every circumstance, in every case, in all times. If we are going to wear his name, if we are going to be his people, we need to be that very same thing at all times, in every circumstance, and in every place, if we are to be his. This morning, can you be yourself? Just with all honesty and clarity? Are you wearing a disguise so that you can hide your true self? Do you believe one thing while acting like you believe something else? Such makes you a hypocrite. And your life is little more than an effort to trick others. And God knows the truth. We must always understand that when we stand before God in the judgment day, it will be without disguise. It will be without facade. There is no chance that we will ever be able to fool Jesus Christ, that we will be able to trick him in any way. We will stand before him just as who we are, in perfect clarity. We will be the person that we have decided to be in all situations. Jesus knows duplicity just as he knew it in the Pharisees. He knew hypocrisy. And understand, what you believe is of equal importance to what you do. God is a God that sees the heart. And that is why disguises and facades cannot work. And you can come and you can do all the right things, just like the Pharisees did all the right things. But if you don't believe the right things, you're in the same boat they are. Spirit and in truth is how we are to worship, how we are to serve God. Not only with what we do, but with what we believe to be right and true according to God's holy word. Faith must be that which is in the Bible in order for it to be a saving faith. Are you a trick or are you a treat? Is your life putting on disguises or is your life about helping others put on Jesus Christ because they see him in you? It makes all the difference in the world. And let me tell you what, it is a much simpler life. No, there's going to be some people that don't like you. There's going to be some people that don't want to be your friend. They're going to say all kinds of mean things about you on the news. That's all right. It's all right. I have my family here. Jesus said, "Who is my brothers and sisters? The ones that follow him." You're my family. I won't have to worry about those things from you. I can be me around you all I want. Because we're all in this together for one purpose, and that's Jesus Christ. This morning, if you are wearing disguises, if you're not being who you should be, if you're duplicitous and hypocritical in the life that you're living, stop. Stop and be convicted about Jesus Christ, about the life that he wants you to live. And know that it is the best life that there is, and that there is no life out there and no people out there any better than Jesus Christ in his body. Give yourself wholly to that with all that you have. And you will stand before Jesus one day as the very same person that you are right now. Without disguise and without facade. And he will welcome you home. But if you continue to wear your disguises, you continue to live a life that's an effort to deceive and to trick. Deception is lies. Know that there is a place for liars, according to the book of Revelation, in the lake of fire. Not where you want to be. It's so much easier, so much better to just be honest in life. To be what Jesus wants you to be at all times and in all places. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't put on Christ, we all pray that you make the decision to be. Because the world has nothing to offer. The world will love you as long as you agree with them. And the moment you don't agree with them, the world won't love you. But let me tell you what. Jesus Christ loves you no matter what. And he asks you to come to him. No one has ever loved you like Him. No one ever will. He is the one person in all the universe that you can truly depend upon. Come to Him this morning. Give your life to Him, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, rising to walk a new life. One life. Without disguise and without facade, but just one life. And living it with all of your might for all to see, that you might help others put on that same Christ in theirs. We can help you this morning in any way in coming to Christ. If you have a spiritual need this morning, we want to help you with that. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?